Welcome back to Scholars and Dollars, H&M.
Yes.
We are moving along. It's after Labor Day. We are hitting the ground running with school and our kids and students getting ready for the next step. You know, it's a little overwhelming, I think, for some.
It is. I'm chiming in. As a parent as well, on that side. And I've been reaching out to Jaren multiple days for the past couple of weeks. So I definitely told her I wanted to share my journey on the parent side of this.
Yes.
It's a little different from just, you know, with Pace, but just being on the other side of it.
Right. And you hadn't done it since Chanel.
Oh, yes.
So we are, you know, so, you know, this is Milbauer's first one since the big one.
Mm-hmm.
Initially, and y'all, a lot of y'all met Chanel at some of the fairs, and so their experiences. I mean, you think about how many years ago was that when she was coming through?
Yeah, and almost 10 years.
Yeah,
maybe.
So
yeah, and it's different, more different now because pretty much everything is online,
right?
Versus the paper applications. You know, a lot of colleges were still utilizing that as an option, right? So everything is just strictly online, and everything you have to upload is online, and you also have to reach out to other people for additional information that you need in order to move your application along.
And so one thing about the paper application, I think 20 years ago when I was coming through and 10 years ago when Chanel was coming through, I think you could see whether your child actually did the application. So there was actually a you know, my mother could see if you filled out the application for the AKA scholarship, I'm seeing where you typed in 3 pages and now we're going to mail it versus now I think parents are like, oh, well, she said she did it and it hasn't been done, or you can't review it as easily.
Correct.
And
or
so that's important.
Just making sure, because again, I'm going through this with Jordan. We have like a standard family email.
Right.
But she wanted to use her Gmail. So I'm like, okay, that's fine. And the same thing with other students. But then parents, you have to make sure that they are checking their emails. Now at this point, almost daily.
Yes.
Because a lot, if you're applying for multiple colleges or even scholarships included, then they are sending, you know, this is missing, or in order to complete your application.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm telling you. And a lot of parents, you know, I've gotten some calls so far about, you know, schools are schools notifying the student that they haven't gotten their transcript. And, you know, we know that we've sent the transcript. So there's two different things. And I think Ms. M can talk a little bit about the transcript aspect of it. But what one thing that happens is schools have those automated systems. So sometimes the transcript has been sent, and then it's just sending you an automated notification.
That is true.
Then other times, as you can say, you know, with the application, it hasn't been sent.
Yes, that's correct.
So you got to still follow up. I don't think people, you know, I know I had a parent who called yesterday and she's like, I don't want you to feel like I'm bothering you. I was like, well, I'd rather you bother me than not bother me and then wait till the last minute and then not get not get what you need to get done.
I agree. You know, so many things, you know, just going on. And I will tell you guys, if you have parchment, you know, with your school, that is a lifesaver. It definitely saves a lot of time. My school does not, we don't use parchment.
Oh,
so
okay.
Our registrar has to send our students official transcripts out. But again, if you have parchment, that's one thing. That's fine. You can go in, submit the orders. Parents is free.
And then you can look and see that the orders have been sent.
That the orders have been sent. But then on the flip side, you may receive an email from the college like, hey, this particular item is missing and it's the, you know, the official transcript. Well, then there's someone else at the college who will need to go in and attach that. So even though you may be reaching out to your admissions counselor parents, they are not necessarily the ones that are doing that, that part of the admissions process.
And I think a lot of people don't understand that. So
I don't think
I tried to explain that. I end up explaining it every summer. When you are, so when the application gets to the college and then the transcript is sent to the college, a lot of times, and especially like you said at your school, y'all don't do the parchment. So that means that piece of paper has to be scanned in mm-hmm. to a system.
Correct.
And so then it's scanned into the system, and the system attaches it to the corresponding application.
Well, let's back up to say also it's mailed, so you have to depend on
snail mail.
The USPS service to get it there.
Yes.
Okay.
And so I've noticed also, so I do think that's a little bit of why we were seeing a lot of self-reported mm-hmm. transcripts and mm-hmm. stuff being accepted and allowed, which wasn't the case originally.
Correct. And I like that option too, parents. So again, wherever you're working from, whether it's the student's Chromebook, your desktop, or your laptop, have that folder.
Right.
Maybe on all of those devices. If your child is working on their Chromebook, but parents, you're checking behind them on your desktop or your laptop, have those official transcripts in a folder, those fee waivers in a folder as well, because like Jaren said, like USC, for example, I do know you can attach your, you can report your unofficial transcript.
Yep.
To them.
Clemson was even taking pictures for a little bit.
Oh, okay.
They were trying to get it done.
Yeah. But
that was, you know, when people are getting, you know, so a lot of schools are allowing that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And something else that I saw, even with Common App, you upload this information, but again, parents, you can't submit until the other people have done their part. So, you know, you send in the request for your counselor to do the part. Well, this is what happened with Jordan's counselor. It was going to spam.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, parents, you may think that, you know, your counselor is not submitting that information, but just email them and ask.
Well, I had somebody to leave out the, they put the wrong email address.
They do that to me. They don't spell my name correctly.
Well, that, yes. Yep. I could see that. But then they just left out the dot.
Oh, see.
So, you have my first name, last name. That's on the student.
That's on the student.
2 years ago, I had a student who missed their application to Harvard because they thought the counselor hadn't done it. The counselor never got it. Then we were able to go back into the Common App and see where those initial applications, she had submitted put the wrong email.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's some double checking that can happen.
I agree.
As a counselor, you know, we get busy and we get behind. A lot of things have to happen, like that school profile has to be done. Mm-hmm. You know, we're getting the ranks and things together. There were some things, that course rank thing that's required now over the, the student rank, official student rank over the summer. And so with that, we were then checking some other grades, and just remember that you have students who may have retaken a course. And PowerSchool is not automatically changing that grade. So I had some students whose GPA actually changed once we did some double checking to make sure, like, for example, you failed Algebra 2 the first time during COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Then you sat in the classroom and you retook the class and got an A. Well, according to South Carolina state law, you don't, that original F is no longer being counted into your GPA for rank purposes. So that means you got 37. That 37 can then, it's still on the transcript.
Yes.
But it's then replaced in your GPA with that A. And that is a tremendous difference.
Mm-hmm.
So like I said, while it's showing there, you have that. So if you've retaken courses, which I know this week I've been doing my individualized graduation plans. I've run into more students who had retaken courses like that we had rescheduled them for through COVID. As long as it's not a credit recovery or APEX course, if you actually sat in the class and that replacement grade should replace it in the actual, in the GPA.
Right.
So that helps.
Yes.
So we did have some points to change in those things. So when you're in IGPs or when you're talking to your counselors and you know your child, you know, falls in that category, mm-hmm. get those things done, because what happens is, you know, that could be the difference between like Life Scholarship or Hope Scholarship.
Exactly. Exactly. So. Yeah. So, you know, it's okay that, you know, my parents would say, oh, I don't want to bother you today. And I'm like, I get it. I do it myself.
Yeah.
So you're not bothering your counselor, but, you know, you just want to stay up on it. But just be aware there are also other things that are out of our control as well. And the mail system is one of them. Even with parchment, you can request the order.
Right.
But when the other person from the college is going to upload it or transfer it to your portal is another thing.
Yes.
Is another, yeah.
So. And some counselors, like for me, I personally, you know, some counselors just have oh, I do Common App on Fridays. And that's pretty much where we are with me and our department. You know, I try to do those things on Fridays. Yes. And so a lot of them have plans and, you know, plans. Mm-hmm. I'm so proud of some of our students. I think I've seen it through people who've commented on PACE. Y'all are getting your applications mm-hmm. done early.
Yes. Love it. And some of them are receiving acceptance letters.
Yes. And so we're not trying to get you to do anything that we don't think that, you know, like that Miss, like for example, Miss M is not doing with her own child.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying anything that we would tell you to do. I'm literally seeing if you get in early mm-hmm. from what I found, and I have not done scientific research, but I've been doing this for 9 years now. Milblauer a little mm-hmm. bit longer. what I've seen is that if you apply early, then you get accepted early in a lot of cases. You can use that spring to work on scholarships, and it's not so overwhelming. So you've kind of secured your space, or you have an option for what you're looking for, and it's just an easier time.
Yeah,
not an easy time.
Right.
Not saying it's going to be easy.
Right.
But it can be easier. You know, the earlier you find out, you know, if you're using, like we talked about before, like the REACH schools and the MATCH schools, you'll start to find out, you know, those decisions, and then you'll be able to kind of plan accordingly.
And with that, even with some of the acceptances, or if you've already started this conversation with those colleges, they're sending you invites to an open house or a preview day, or I think Wofford now, Jordan applied to Wofford. They send her, you know, based on your GPA and ACT score, and I think she was a Wofford junior scholar or something. Right. We want you to come to this Scholars Day to potentially – you know, earn interview a scholar, and meet it, get an additional scholarship. So that all comes with applying early,
right?
So if you waited, I think it's in November. So let's say you wait until December to apply, then you've missed that Scholars Day opportunity.
And so that goes into, like we talk about, like early action versus early decision. So it's early action. USC has implemented early action day. Mm-hmm. I think Clemson has early action too now. But what that means, so if the early action date is October 15th. Mm-hmm. When I went to listen to some admissions officers the other day, it's like, well, it's October 15th. You'll hear by December 1st.
Yes.
That October 15th date is still ahead of some of those other things, like a teaching fellows, right? So mm-hmm. you can apply to these schools and you find out, okay, well, this school has teaching fellows. Mm-hmm. And in the state of South Carolina, the teaching fellows scholarships are only at certain schools. But if you can, you know, get those applications done and get accepted, mm-hmm. then you can have a general idea like, okay, well, you know, my top schools, I want to be a teacher. My top schools have teaching fellows. I need to go ahead and prepare when I'm filling my teaching fellows application for Francis Marion, for Lander, for Winthrop, for South Carolina, for Clemson, those things. Mm-hmm. And then that will help you kind of, you know, navigate your process.
That is correct. That's absolutely. And even spilling over into, you know, a lot of this is going hand in hand with scholarships. I was helping a student with the Gates scholarship. Gates said list in your order of, you know, which school you most likely plan to get into or want to get into, 1 to 10. And so now you have to think, you know, do I know of those colleges? And you have to put that information in, and that's just for Gates.
Yes.
Scholarship, I think Coca-Cola asked about that information as well. So, you know, you can't wait because – I think Gates is closing September 15th.
Yes, and I had some really tough conversations with some kids who would who would qualify.
Uh-huh.
They were a little lazy.
Oh.
They just didn't want to do it. I said, well, you know what? I'm not going to beg you mm-hmm. to do it, mm-hmm. but I know.
And there's no essays for the first round.
See?
It's just a survey, a questionnaire.
Questionnaire.
Yeah.
And see, that's just.
Yeah. No essays, you guys.
You know, and so it's just, you know, you got to think about where you are with it. And so that's why we were talking, you know, about getting started early so you can have a general idea of what mm-hmm. you're looking for. So, you know, some of it's just, well, I know I'm going to school in state, so I don't need Gates. I'm like, oh, that's lofty.
Yes.
But no. I was talking to a student yesterday too, and, you know, I opened her Common App. She only had 3 schools selected.
Okay.
And so I was like, Ivy student.
Mm-hmm.
Great student, top student, top 10 probably.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not going. I said, well, why? What's going on? She was like, well, you know, I don't know where else to apply. I said, well, you know, we talked about doing at least 5.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, so we were naming places we're going through. Oh, they dorms old. I said, okay.
Yeah.
You know, so I said, well, what schools? And I looked at the list, you know, it's like Coastal. And so I was explaining, I was like, you know, Coastal Carolina is new.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the newer schools in the state anyway. So no, they don't have time for old buildings because, you know, they're like 1960s.
Right.
They were, you know, built in the 1960s. So what they might have is an old building. You might look at another school who's been around since the early 1900s. Mm-hmm. An old building for them is going to look way different from an old building who's built in the 1960s.
Yeah.
And so there's different things. So I encourage her. We have a list of at least 10 now.
Okay, good.
But it was like pulling teeth.
Yeah.
But I think, I know that I'm sharing that because I know she's not alone.
Mm-hmm.
I know there are people who are like, well, I'm not going there. I'm not going there. I'm not going there. But we're telling you, take advantage of the fee waivers.
Correct.
Advantage of starting the applications now. Like, so even if so, say, like we added Wake Forest to her list.
Mm-hmm.
We added Chapel Hill to her list.
Right.
And I'm thinking, you could see what the essays and stuff are going to be, even if you don't complete the applications today.
Yeah. And Common App, their essay portion.
It's so.
Yeah, they're there. And I just told a student, but most important, he was like, oh, I got to think about those. Well, the very last option says, if you have your own topic.
Yeah, if you have your own topic.
You know, you can submit that.
The prompts are for kids who need prompts. And nothing's wrong with that. But, you know, I think, you know, and I think some of those prompts are really good to, when you're thinking about essays you'll need in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So my advice, I saw so many prompts when I looked at another student, would be to look at that and think, okay, there's something here about, there's about community service.
Yes.
There's something about an activity or something you participate in. Like, go ahead and if your school that you're applying to will accept one of those prompts, you know, go ahead and get a solid essay in for something that you would probably need to use for scholarships or for admission to another program or something like that.
I agree. Yeah, I do agree with that. Also with Common App versus utilizing the school's online application. So for Jordan, we had to use USC because in order to get that summer seniors
waiver,
you had to do their standalone application versus going through Common App because Common App didn't recognize that. And they were identifying, that's another way to identify their summer senior applicant. So, and I think the same thing with something with Clemson as well. So again, you know, parents, if, you know, no matter where you live, if some of your students have participated in certain programs at colleges and universities, you may want to do their application if they don't require a Common App. So you can put that information in. And more importantly, make sure your kids aren't being lazy with putting in their clubs and organizations and activities. You know, again, checking behind Jordan, she put in maybe about 5, the ones that are important to her. And I'm like, nope, utilize your success resume, put, you know, all of your information in. Some of those key ones that she left out, Girl State. You know, a lot of people, I said, there's no way you left out Girl State. You need to put Girl State.
She left out
you know, she put it on, you know, like the Wofford and I think Anderson and some of those other schools. But, you know, you never know what extra money they may have or recognize, you know, students for certain programs.
Right.
4-H,
right.
You know, is another one that is recognized across
the
country.
Yeah, and the short list on those scholarships.
Correct.
You know, people are looking, bursar office are looking how to distribute. Well, we have a list of kids who did 4-H.
Mm-hmm.
Or these people donated $1,000 for every kid who does 4-H or has some sort of major specific, you know, specific thing or something like that.
Yeah. So make sure they are putting in, you know, all of their information on those applications or even on Common App. I think Common App will let you do up to 10 activities. So now you have to decide which options for a Common App. But once you complete each individual school and your counselor's done their part, there's even a part for a recommender. There's even a part for club advisors to do their part. Once you do that and then you hit submit, your student will probably still get an email like, hey, we've received the application, but now we need you to create your set up your portal.
Right. And you have a little profile.
Yes.
And so I've been
having that. Part that some of our students are missing.
No, they're like, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
So we have students who apply to schools and they get through, they do like Common App or Common Black College App. And they're like, they ask, and I got an email from them. I'm like, oh, well, you should click on it. Mm-hmm. And for Common Black College App, from what I've seen, some schools kind of have the, your acceptance in that portal.
They do. That's
so that means if you don't click on the email,
that is true.
Create a password. It's not asking you to do anything extra.
Yes.
Create a password. And then in that, it may have a notification for mm-hmm. you. I had some students, and this happened. What's a few schools? One was Elizabeth City State, I think. Mm-hmm. But they, in order to get that acceptance, they needed to go then into that account email type deal. And it's like, congratulations, you're accepted. I had a student with a scholarship sitting in it, sent in the portal, in the email that they didn't check because they'd already done their application.
And one of our students said, are you going to email the counselor and said, are you going to send me a paper acceptance letter? I think they're looking for.
Right.
They're like, no, you can print it off.
You
like
can print it off. It's a PDF attached. Congratulations.
Correct.
And some people get those big, you know.
Yeah, the packages.
The packages and stuff. But times have really changed.
They have.
I mean, I get it. I think a lot of schools, I think a couple of years ago, Savannah State was sending out like flags mm-hmm. and stuff to put in the yards and all that. But I'm sure mm-hmm. admissions officers were like, we're wasting money. Mm-hmm. Because college is a business.
It is.
And I've been listening to this other lady
mm-hmm.
on social media. So if you don't follow my Instagram, my future plans one, I have funny stuff on there. But typically it's because of something funny that I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been following this lady who calls herself the American College Counselor.
Mm-hmm.
Her name is Sarah somebody. And she has a lot of good information. But she was talking about specifically in Common App where it says, do your academic awards and your aunt, like then your athletic awards mm-hmm. and how it's separated when you get into some applications mm-hmm. and how, you know, kids aren't filling that out, mm-hmm. in a thorough way exactly. to where a school can see what that is. So it may say academic awards and then you put, you know, National Honor Society, mm-hmm. honor roll.
Right, right.
You know.
Yes.
All A honor roll. Right. That, those things go there relatively, but then when you get into like, you know, you got your National Dance Honor Society. But mm-hmm. through that, then you also are part of the dance team.
Correct.
And yeah. then the dance team becomes an athletic or a club mm-hmm. or organization. So mm-hmm. there's a lot of different things.
Yes.
So it's important to get somebody else to read over.
I agree.
The applications. And so I was looking at hers and I was thinking, gosh, you know, that's a very good point. Because I know for a fact that I've looked at some application and just says, you know, academic awards.
Mm-hmm.
Here I go. Honor roll.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing after that. Yep. Well, I haven't gotten anything.
Yep. I just said, Jordy, you just got nationally recognized for College Board. Oh, yeah, that can go in. So, you know, they're not thinking about it.
Yeah, they're talking through.
You have to talk them through it. Yeah. I agree.
That success resume helps.
It does. It does.
And a lot of times that success resume, they made it maybe in 10th or 11th grade.
Mm-hmm.
And then now it's 12th grade. They're not updating.
Correct.
My recommendation, and I think Ms. M will probably agree with this, you know, in the summers, so 9th, 10th, 11th, mm-hmm. you know, just take that time to go through it with them. So then you're talking about some of those awards.
I agree.
Junior Scholars mm-hmm. is one that,
And
looking at their stuff, it's not on there.
Like, Jordan, you got junior scholars for four different schools. Oh, you know, and it's like the light bulb goes off. Like,
absolutely.
Oh, yeah, I can put that on there. And because she put that on there with Wofford, then that's how they were able to pull her.
Absolutely. And invite.
So, and I'm sharing this with parents because, again, I'm going through it. These are some of the things that you need to check on. I will say, I always say this, that your school counselor can't sit and check, every application.
We don't have time.
Yes. That,
do you hear me? We don't have time.
Yeah. But, parents or, there are programs. I always talk about Upward Bound and Gear Up and Avid and some of those programs that's what they're there for.
And then, like you said, with counselors, like we don't have time in the course mm-hmm. of our maybe every minute to sit.
Mm-hmm.
But most of us, most counselors that I know who work with high school students, set aside time
mm-hmm.
throughout the weeks to do college stuff.
Yep.
You know, so you had a chat and choose.
Yeah, we did. Thursday and Friday, we had one, and we just told him, bring your lunch in. We're going to sit here, bring your Chromebooks, and we're going to help you go through this process as well as register for ACT and SAT, how to set up your profile for Common App, Common Black App. And that's what we did.
Yeah, so I think that is mm-hmm. tremendous, because there's a lot of people. So I know we got counselors who listen and, mm-hmm. you know, other people. I mean, that's a great idea. So, you know, you think, well, you shouldn't have to do that, you know, because that was one of the mm-hmm. some of the feedback I got from one of our teachers when we have events like that, that pull them, not really out of class, but just right. pull them together. And, you know, like, well, you shouldn't have to do that. If they really mm-hmm. want to go to college, mm-hmm. then they'll do it themselves. Well, that is not where we are right now.
Right. It's they need some guidance. And like yes. I told them, I'm showing you this now so you can take this home.
Yes.
And continue to work on it, or work on another application. Or if you ever want to register for ACT or SAT right. again, now you already know.
Take That's advantage correct. Of those opportunities. And so I was going to say, like, a lot of us are doing things. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll have financial aid nights. We'll have the college fairs are coming up. You just got to take advantage of it.
Correct.
You know, so if that means you hear the call, like, you know, our principal does a call every week, or there's emails that go out from the school, or you follow the school on Facebook, all mm-hmm. these different things, and you hear about something, and you're just assuming that your child is going to go. Great. My advice is to assume that they are not going to go.
Exactly.
And that you need to remind them, because a lot of times they're like, oh, I can do that. You know, they haven't done it. They haven't, you know, I had more kids in a little bit tell me they didn't have a College Board account.
Right.
And I was thinking, you know, why don't you have a College Board account? Mm-hmm. You've done PSAT, you've done mm-hmm. different things, and oh, I didn't have to do that. You know, I don't know nothing about mm-hmm. that. Or, you know, they took the ACT. The only time they took it was with that early in the spring and junior year.
Right.
That's the only test they have.
Or they don't remember which email they use.
Oh, well,
how many emails do you have? I had that conversation. She said, well, I have 4 possible emails. This was a student. I'm like, no, you know, I say, count out your school email, because I always tell them, don't use your school email. But use one email and, you know, similar.
And really count out your iCloud.
I ask
people all the time. When they write iCloud down in their personal email, I'm like, do you pay your phone bill? No, ma'am.
Right.
So then how can you control that iCloud account? Because, you know, you never know what might happen.
Right.
You may have a different phone. Mm-hmm. You may not be able to use that account or what have you. So now's a great time to do Gmail, Hotmail, AOL if you must.
Yeah.
Yahoo, you know, just, you know, first name, last name, some mm-hmm. numbers.
Yep.
You know, first name, dot last name, some numbers. Numbers, first name, last name. You know, that's mm-hmm. but, you know, try to mm-hmm. figure out what works for you, something you can remember. Because I promise you, the amount of time we have spent, I think we have 4 counselors at my school. Each one of us mm-hmm. was on hold on the phone with ACT or SAT at least 2 or 3 times a year last year.
Amen.
Trying to reset passwords.
Amen.
And we
or again, merge accounts.
Merge accounts.
Though some kids have multiple accounts out there, which means one test score may
absolutely
be here, and the student said, no, I thought I made, you know, whatever test score, and come to find out they have established 2 different accounts.
Yep. And so then when you give them your social or whatever you're going to be giving them, mm-hmm. You know, it's not working out. Mm-hmm. You have an emergent, and that just means you're on hold even longer.
Right.
Trying to do your email addresses, trying to get your name, first name, last name, your school code, all those mm-hmm. different things. It's just a pain.
So, you know, that's why I wanted to talk about that today. I'm just thinking about, you know, some other things. You know, Jordan has been doing the bulk of her work from our desktop in my office at work. And so it's made it easier if she's not using Common App, you know, and you're going through those regular college applications. A lot of that stuff will populate on its own. Right. I love that, you know, so she'll click on her, you know, your email, and then pretty much everything, your name, your phone number, your address, you guys, all of that stuff will populate. And then you can move on to the next page. Parent information will populate. And so, you know, parents, just have a plan in place. You know, if your child does plan to apply for multiple colleges and universities across the country, more importantly, just have them check at this point, to be honest with you, daily for emails. Because, again, even though let's say they apply through Common App or Common Black App, that individual school is going to email, you know, that student for, you know, additional information, or like Jaren said, your letter, your acceptance letter, or for a preview day. I think like Ole Miss already emailed all of that stuff back to back. Like, hey, you've been accepted, but then there was another email. Here's our preview day. Here's another email. You know,
yeah, they're like rolling within 2 weeks.
Yeah.
The guy, the admissions officer, the regional one, she was telling us the other day that 2 weeks, you know, you find out what you got in Ole Miss, and then they're
going to send you a bunch of emails. Yeah.
Full court press.
When you can send in your immunization record and room deposit. Like, wait, whoa. we haven't got that far.
So we talk about school being a business.
Yes.
And that's what I, you know, people need to understand. That was so Ole Miss's strategy, which is University of Mississippi, for those of you who need to know that their strategy is to jump out there early, bombard you with things, get you moving, and perhaps get you to visit.
Yes.
And then, you know, work on you from that way. So they're rolling in 2 weeks. Because you don't really see schools that size doing rolling. When I say rolling admissions, meaning they get your application, you got everything in. And within 2 to 3 weeks, you can find out whether you've gotten into school.
Right.
And so they're setting a bar that, you know, our in-state schools are going to have to compete with.
I agree.
And University of Alabama was already doing something similar. You know, like they send something out like in October where the applications are all free or whatever the case may be. They had kind of started doing that. And I think, you know, Ole Miss realized that it's a return on that investment. When you're looking at, you know, getting students in from out of state, committing to that out of state tuition, and then, you know, committing to do something different because, you know, it's a viable, it's an option if you're looking at, you know, when you're going to colleges, if you're looking at schools about the same size. Right. Like, you know, so, you know, if you're considering going to Clemson or Carolina, then you probably would consider going to Ole Miss.
Yeah.
So.
I agree.
But college is a business. They want your money. So it's okay for you to ask them for money. Like, you know, it's okay for you to expect.
I agree.
It's okay for you to expect money back.
Yes.
And that's something I think people don't understand. Like, it's okay.
And the other thing, I think, like, with some of those schools, Jordan has sent her ACT scores in early, I think March or April. So a lot of them were saying, oh, you got to send your ACT scores in, but they were already sent in. So, again, you just have to communicate.
Right.
Right. With the admissions office and say, no, I've already, you know, give them the date or whatever. One school asked Jordan for a receipt or a ticket. I was like, oh, my goodness, where did we get that from? But there was a confirmation thing from
that
ACT.
Has already been sent.
Yeah, that was sent in April. So that may be something that's missing. So don't just assume that they know that. There may be something that it'll say, when did you take your test? I'm sure. When, you know, did you take your test in April or you know, May of 2022? So that'll help them narrow down where to search for those scores.
And then know your school codes.
Know your school codes, exactly.
I think your school codes, that's those numbers, was it five numbers, six numbers? Six numbers.
Six.
That, you know, you put on your test saying what school you're coming from. Cause then if you do know that, then, you know, when you're looking at all the schools across the country, it's easier for them to say, like, oh, well, I went to Wilson High School.
Yeah.
There's so many Wilson High Schools in the country.
Right.
And so, you know, if you know your code.
Yeah, it's easier.
That would be easier. Yeah. And I'll say for your test, you know, I was with the admissions officers, more schools, you know, kind of want to see your test. So I know I got people who are now jumping out here to take tests.
Right.
I'm not saying randomly. I'm just saying, just, you know, all of a sudden it's like, oh, I need to go take an ACT. And it's like, well, you're signing up for the ACT. I think the last regular deadline for the next ACT, the one that's in October, is like September 16th or something.
Yeah, I think it's next week.
But I haven't done any prep again.
Correct.
And then you want to send your test score to these schools. Now, I've said it at least on three different episodes.
Right.
I think we're at episode 12 now. So I need you to listen to me. Do not send that score.
I agree.
If you have not seen the score.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and sometimes you can feel like you knocked it out the park, and you did not. And I have faith that you did, and your child is a genius, and everything's going to go perfectly. But you have the option, in a lot of cases, to be test optional. So you don't have to report that score directly to that school. And it's going to say, you can send it to four schools for free, you know, and it's going to happen in a moment. It's going to be so fast for your child to make that decision. But remind them that you can send it later. That $13, it's worth it to just wait. And then if you have taken a test with a fee waiver, then you have an opportunity to send it anyway.
To multiple schools. Later.
So that is my recommendation regarding the test. A lot of schools are still test optional.
Yeah, they are. And I told you the other day, all schools aren't accepting super scores.
And so most that I've seen that are have it noted someplace. So it'll say, I think USC was one of the ones I was looking at. They were accepting that super score. But I'll say this. University of South Carolina got 42,000 applications last year. And I tell you what. 42,000 applications is strong for Columbia, South Carolina.
It is.
It's a significant amount. And so of that, they brought in 6,000 students. I would say that the growth there has a lot to do with being test optional.
I agree. Yes.
Particularly for kids coming from out of state. I mean, I think Dawn Staley has something to do with that. And a lot of good things happening in the Honors College there. But I think the opportunity for students to be test optional is...
And it's affordable.
Yeah, I think when you get down to it, if you earn certain merit-based scholarships, you can make South Carolina work pretty good. And then they offer some programs that would help students as well.
Yeah. So just do your research. And when I say about the super score parents, the conversation that I just noticed Jordan was having with one of the admissions counselor for their scholarships, their merit-based scholarships, they're not super scoring. So where I think one of her composites, like a 25, her super score is a 28. They're not accepting that. For that presidential scholarship. So there's one where it would pay for tuition, but not the tuition, room, board, and books. And so, you know, they were like, you know, you can just retest. Well, that's not one of her top schools. So, you know, but, you know, we'll still, you know, weigh out the options because they are willing to pay for tuition and books. But not the room and board part with the 25. So, no, they weren't recognizing the 28.
Yeah. So, see, that matters, right?
It does matter.
A lot of the schools will. And then for South Carolina, I think scholarships, they will.
They will. For scholarships as well. They do.
So, keep that in mind when you're looking at schools or assuming because your super score was this. Now,
And ask the question. Just email the counselor or the admissions email and they will answer you immediately whether or not they super score.
Yeah, and I think it's because super scoring on the ACT is still relatively new. I don't know if universities have just decided how they want to do that yet. Super scoring on the SAT is was pretty commonplace because it's only two sections. So, you know, you got you get a 700 and a 500, you got 1200. And that was common in that. So they've been doing that for a while. So some of them who may not have understood that ACT was going there may change their rules in the next year or two. Because I think you should super score if that's what we're allowing
I agree.
People to do. But applications have been, you know, they're out there. And at this point, if you have a senior, how many applications would you say would be a good goal for them?
Well, we, like our Upward Bound students, we always say 10 to 12.
Right.
Is, a, you know, good. You know, your REIT schools, your, you know, just have a good even mix of the schools. But 10 to 12, to be honest, Jordan has done a few additional ones past that. So, but just be prepared. If you are doing multiple schools, more than three, then you're going to get, that many emails coming
in. So you need to be ready for that.
So then you need to be ready for that too. So, you know, if your plan is to apply for multiple schools, that's fine, but make sure you are actively communicating with the admissions council or turning things in on time when they request them.
All right. So, so one of the hard things I've had to discuss, and we'll end on these notes because you got to apply to schools that you can get into.
Correct.
Okay. So I met with a student the other day. He is fantastic. Very nice young man. He wants to go to two schools that, you know, I'm like, oh, okay, cool. I was thinking maybe he had a plan of some sort. No plan. GPA is right around right now, 2.4. Both schools, you're going to need at least a 3.0.
Right.
And that's really with me pulling
That's the story of my life.
So I had to have a conversation with him.
Correct.
About schools that he was admissible to at mm-hmm. this particular point.
Correct. Correct.
And, you know, it was tough mm-hmm. because I was watching like the hope kind mm-hmm. of like leave his face. Mm-hmm. And with that, I just want to say that people need to be, you know, before we shoot kids down, because mm-hmm. I was not telling him that they were not going to happen.
Right.
What I was telling him was we can't send these applications off till the end of the semester, mm-hmm. at least this semester. But I can give you some schools that you are admissible to, and I can also show you some different opportunities mm-hmm. to get to the path. Correct. Because some students, they have no desire to go to a 2-year. So mm-hmm. I think a lot of times people are like, oh, you can just go to Tech and do mm-hmm. this. And I think, you know, since we have counselors and people who work with children listening, I think we have to do a good job of really thinking about the kid that we're talking to.
I agree. Yeah.
Because, you know, that's not, sometimes mm-hmm. it's just like, oh, you just need to go to Tech. Mm-hmm. Well, that particular kid or a kid that you're working with, if they go to Tech and stay home, maybe they don't have a place at home. Mm-hmm. You know, so, but there are schools for students who have 2.4. Yep. And that's what I was trying to explain to him and his grandmother. Yeah. Like, there's a place. Yeah. There are places.
Yeah. And that's how I try to explain it to him. Like, if you want to get there, okay, if you want to get to Clemson, let's start out at this 2-year school. Then you right. can always transfer. Right. Or, you know, see how you do at this 2-year school.
And there's all sorts of 2-year schools.
Correct.
You know, so true. You got some that have housing. Correct. USC Sumter mm-hmm. is a good, Salkahatchee mm-hmm. has 2 years. There's a place called East Georgia State University. That's 2 years. Mm-hmm. Spartanburg Methodist.
That is right.
2 years. Yep. And then you have your technical schools, mm-hmm. some of which have housing.
Right.
So I have a student at Horry Georgetown Tech, mm-hmm. one we did on hygienist, but one at College Fields. She's up there living her best life in a quad-like dorm
yeah.
that was she was hooked up with through mm-hmm. Horry Georgetown's admissions people.
Yeah.
So
Clemson and USC, they order the bridge,
programs. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, so there's a difference, right? Yeah. So this, no, okay, so she's 2.4 is not going to get you bridged to Clemson or Carolina.
No.
That's going to get you not accepted.
Right, right, correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they do have community colleges right there.
Yes.
But they have Midlands and was it Tri-County mm-hmm. or?
Tri-County.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they have, you can still do that.
Yeah.
But I say that to say there's different options. And then if you're looking at 4-year options, you know, you do have Voorhees and Allen and
well, a lot of them Morris. Across the country. Yeah, a lot of them.
Yeah, and if you're looking at San Diego State, but, you know, you need to have a, you know, we're pushing 2.5. Mm-hmm. The conversation I had with him was, you know, we're not really going to apply.
Right.
Where, you know, so you're listening. So if you're listening, you're like, oh, well, they're saying apply. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not for every kid either.
Right.
Because for some of us, we need to be digging in on our coursework. This particular student had a rough COVID year, mm-hmm. period. Good student.
Yeah.
Was A's and B's, COVID.
Yeah.
It's not good.
Which is also something they can write about.
Absolutely. Yep. And so that's why I was saying, you know, we're just going to, you know, we're going to get through and get some A's on the transcript another semester. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to look at applications for more places, mm-hmm. you know, after we get the semester done.
I agree. That's a good plan.
But just, you know, I want people to think, you know, you're hearing us say, well, you got to apply, you got to do this. And, you know, it's like, oh, they're telling me to do this. And you're out. We don't want you to force your child or anybody into a situation where they won't be successful. Correct. And so applying to those technical schools now, mm-hmm. like we'll, you know, I'll help him. You know, I gave him books for the technical schools. Mm-hmm. He can go ahead and apply. Mm-hmm. He'll be admitted to mm-hmm. those now. And so that will help get his feet wet. And then, you know, he may, by the end of the semester, may say, you know, I will just go to, mm-hmm. you know, one of these 2-year schools and, you know, get myself together and then go off. Or he may say, all right, I've got it figured out. My safety schools are now here, and then I want to apply to some other schools.
But I think that's a good conversation to have in your meetings with your counselors, because some people honestly don't know that's an option.
Right.
I just had a student graduate from Clemson, but he started out at the tech school and took advantage of their youth apprenticeship program. And then the company he was working for paid for his tuition.
Right.
So, you know, that option.
There's, absolutely.
Right, so.
Absolutely.
There's different paths that you can take.
Yeah, and so I'll say, you know, Johnson Wales was kind of like, mm-hmm. oh, you know, I have a student who wanted to do culinary. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not the only option to culinary.
That is true.
a Johnson & Wales is not cheap.
Yeah.
So I always tell people, you know, weigh your options. And so when we're talking about two-year opportunities, a lot of the scholarships that you'll see on Pace Scholarship Academy are for both.
Yeah, 2 or 4 year schools.
2 or 4 year mm-hmm. schools. They're not saying you have to commit to an associate's degree. It could be that you're paying for a program or certification program that you're in. Mm-hmm. And so we want you to just have the information to make sure that, you know, you're advising, for those of you who advise students, for those of you who have specific clubs and organizations or even parents in the community, mm-hmm. that you're sharing the information that could be most helpful to the students.
Yep.
Any last minute things? Where should they be applying? What scholarships this week?
The main thing I would say, you guys, is the ones that you've started, just wrap
them
up. Again, I'm telling you, let's wrap this up.
Right.
For those of you who qualify to apply for Gates, the 15th is a hard deadline. You can't write them afterwards. There are hundreds of thousands of people applying for Gates. So September 15th is the first round deadline. A lot of those other scholarships like Heisman, October is the deadline for a lot of those scholarships. Scholarships America, you guys, will start cranking up with their scholarships. I talked about the Burger King scholarship before, that they gave over $1,000 scholarships. So that will open up on Scholarships America October 1st.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
So add that to your calendar.
It's coming up. So mark it down, you know, and don't forget your local scholarships in the meantime.
No, definitely. Yep.
Well, thank you so much for, you know, listening to our 12th episode of Scholars and Dollars. With H&M. Yes. Missy, I'm telling where they can find you.
On social media, Facebook and Instagram, Pay Scholarship Academy. We're having another boot camp tomorrow. That one is sold out. So hopefully if you come in next week, you can register for that one.
Yeah. So next week will be September the what?
18th.
So when you hear this, hopefully it won't be sold out.
No.
Thanks so much. You can follow me on futureplans_. That's future. PLANZ _ on Instagram, and then my name, Jaren Harrison, on Facebook. Thank you so much for listening.
Bye-bye.